Can have your attention. Thank you. We're going to worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings, and then the joy bells are going to be ringing for us. So I'm going to ask Greg, if you don't mind, would you stand and pray for the offering and pray for our service this morning, please? Tell me what that song was. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's what we've come to do this morning, just to worship his holy name. If you'll do that, you've done your part this morning. Great job. That was awesome. Great job. All right. Miss Susie's coming, and the joy bells are going to ring. So let's worship the Lord as they do that as well.
Are ringing for the first time on stage. Can you raise your hand? Fellas, you can stand up. Stand up for me, Ethan. You're ringing for the very first time. There we go. I get so excited when I know I'm going to be getting our new kindergartners. We don't have Christian this morning. We might be missing another one or two, but it's an exciting time in practice when we've got our brand new kindergartners. And it's always a little sad for me when our fifth graders graduate on up, though. But we have a lot of them in 316, so I'm excited about that, too. How great thou art, and blessed assurance.
new ringer was not going to be able to focus and really pay attention and listen, and they have done wonderful. Every practice, and I'm so proud of them, and I'm so thankful to get to do this. This is the joy of my heart.
Well, next weekend will be our teen retreat. This year we had to do it a little bit differently. Normally we do it, we've tried it in October and September, and we agreed we really liked September. And a part of me has always wondered, well, what would it be like in August? Because once you hit next weekend, one, it's really busy for the kids for all their ball games, football, band, soccer, just everybody. Well, I guess the Lord kind of gave me a nudge this year, and we're having to change the date to next weekend because our weekend was already booked. So sometimes I need that little nudge to try it, and we're going to see if we like this. But we wanted to show you guys, we keep saying we're going to show you guys some pictures and kind of give you an idea of what it's like at the retreat, because not everybody's able to come to the retreat and see it. But without our church doing everything that they do, whether it's money, whether it's food, time, prayers, maybe you're somebody who just tells all the teens about it so that they'll come, or you invite people to it. Without Goldtown Church and everything that they put forth to it, there is no way that we could do the teen retreat. And it has touched many lives, several hundreds over the last, I want to say, 6 years we've been doing this. We wanted to be able to share that with you guys, what it's like. We've taken pictures every year, but some of my discs I could not find very well. So we have a few pictures that we can kind of show you guys what it's like and bring you into what goes on at the teen retreat. And then also give a chance to let those that are going to come this year who's never been a chance to be able to see what the teen retreat's about. So the teen retreat's at Rippling Waters Campground, and it is this weekend, Friday through Sunday, and it's ages 6th grade through college. We found that when they leave high school, we really need them to keep coming because they're just so much fun, and they just help those younger ones get to see what it's about, and they don't want to stop either, and we don't want them to stop. And some of them are starting to go into helping with the retreat and stuff, which is great because eventually I will not be doing this, and we'll need other people to take it on and be able to continue this one. If you have any questions when this is done, you can see me after church. Also, we have paperwork that the kids should have been bringing home. If not, I have extras. And that tells you everything you need to know about what they need to bring and the times and everything like that. Each year, we always range from about 50 to 70 kids staying overnight. Now, sometimes we will have more than that, but not all of them are staying in the cabins overnight. Some just come for the Saturday, and some just come for our service. But overall, we usually have a good solid 50 to 70 kids. As of right now, just the counts they gave me this morning, I had 30-some girls and 20-some boys already. And then several said, maybes for a few more. So we're already at 50 to 60 kids that we know of right now. And then there's always that 10 to 20 I don't know about that show up, which is great. We love to have it, but it kind of makes me start jumbling. Okay, where are we going to put them in beds? So it's great when I have a heads up early. Some stay the entire weekend. Most of the time when we have these first sixth graders coming in, they're a little nervous. Some have never stayed away from home, and so I'll have moms bring them in, and they'll say, you know, they're gonna stay, but they don't want to stay the night. And then usually when they come back at around 11, 12 o'clock that night to pick them up, they're like, Mom, I don't want to go home, you know. Or they'll say, they're not going to come Friday night, but I'll bring them first thing Saturday morning, but I'll be back Saturday night to pick them up. And usually when mom pulls in, they're like, I don't want to go. I'm staying. You know, so we kind of chuckle when we hear that. I don't know if we've ever had any actually say they're going to go home and then actually go home. Most of the time, they don't go back until Sunday. We do eat. We have fun. We eat, have fun, and we eat a lot more. Most of all, we're making memories, worshiping God, and we're bonding with our church friends. We do sleep in separate cabins. Usually, one of the cabins has four bedrooms, each sleeping 9 to 11 kids. And then the boys' cabin will sleep about 8 to 10 and have three bedrooms. They're like a house. That's what I tell everybody. It's not like what you think when you go camping. They are bunk beds, but they're nice and they're comfortable. And the bathrooms are like what you'd have at home. I mean, they're very nice facilities. We have kitchens in both cabins, and so it works wonderful to be able to get breakfast ready. We'll send sausage and bacon to one, and Chris will go and take our bacon home and fix it for us. She's wonderful with that and brings it back because we do blow breakers a lot, trying to get things ready for that morning. But the boys' cabin can sleep 35. The girls' cabin will sleep 42, and most of the time we have those maxed and trying to throw air mattresses out on the floor because they are big open floor plans, so that's great. But anyways, we usually try to fill them as much as we can. Check-in this year will be a little bit different. I have a niece who's in color guard for the first time for South, Parkersburg South, and we play them the first game this Friday. So I'm required to be there until she performs, and then I am scooting over to Rippling Waters to get everybody checked in. So we are delaying it. Instead of 7, it will be 9 p.m. this year. Or anytime after. We have a lot of football players, band members, or maybe they're just going to support. Come out after. That's fine. We're good with that. It takes me a while to get everybody settled anyway, so we'll just be getting settled when they all start coming in. But everybody needs to come see me before they go to their cabins. I collect the emergency information if they have any medicines and food drop-off. I do have lots of items I still need for the foods list, but if they've signed up for food items, that's what they bring to me. And then every kid needs to make sure that they bring 2 2-liters of pop. So the way I explain it is, if I have two kids, if they're each bringing a friend, that's 4 we're in charge of, so I need to be bringing 8 2-liters. They drink a lot during the weekend. And I've also told them this year, where it's in August, it'll be hot, so if they want to bring a case of water instead of 2 liters, that's fine, but they need to be able to, we need drinks. And then any other information that I have, I give them at that time. Capture the flag. That's the one thing that no matter what we do, the thing they go home talking about is always capture the flag. And if any of you guys don't know what that is, you split everybody up into 2 teams, and each team has a flag, and then you usually have a middle line, which we always use as the road that divides from the cabin area to the woods area. And they hide the flag, but everybody knows where it is. I mean, it's kind of in an open area. They can't touch it, they can't hold it, but they can guard it. And then you have a little jail area. So what they do is one team tries to cross into the other side without getting tagged, grab the other team's flag, and cross back across the middle line, which is the road. We have some wipe out, that before getting tagged. If they get tagged, they have to go to jail. You're allowed to go over and tag your person. If you tag them without getting tagged while they're in jail, then they can get out of jail. But anyways, jail and that line and the flag area are heavily guarded. So you should see how these kids come dressed. They'll come with camo on because it's played at night. They'll come with face masks on so that you can't see them. They'll be army belly crawling on the ground, standing behind trees. I mean, it's kind of comical to watch them. And each year, those that have never played before, the next year they know what to look for, and they make the competition a little harder each year. We usually try to continue to play if it's sprinkling. Last year, we kind of got rained out. It was a heavy rain, and we decided it was too dangerous. They were slipping and sliding too much. But we tell everybody, bring dark clothes, and that way you don't see them coming. But they enjoy capture the flag, and that's till about 2 o'clock in the morning, and then we finally say, okay, we're done. We're exhausted. Everybody inside. But as soon as they arrive, they're like, when can we start playing capture the flag? So that's usually our big game that everybody loves. Breakfast. This is a few of my helpers, but there's been a lot others that have helped. They just wasn't in that group picture. But it takes several people to get breakfast ready. It's been taking us an hour, and I think really we're rushed even at an hour. We'll probably have to start even sooner. But the breakfast line, you'll see in some of the pictures coming up, will wrap around the building, on the couches, out the building, waiting to get fed for breakfast each morning. And we appreciate very much that crew that comes out and is constantly mixing and flipping. And like I said, we do blow breakers. Here's some pictures that you can see. That's the pancakes. We'll have a crock pot of each flavor and lots of bacon and sausage and all of that to go with it. Just to give you an example of how much food we really go through and why I'm always begging for people to sign up for food or money donations so that we can put towards extras. For breakfast on Saturday morning, it requires 72 eggs, 10 packages of bacon, 60 sausage patties, 120 biscuits, 1 pot of gravy, 3 gallons of milk, and 1 gallon of orange juice. Breakfast Sunday requires 6 boxes of pancake mix, 3 large bottles of syrup, chocolate chips, blueberries, 10 packages of bacon, 60 sausage patties, 30 gallons of milk, and 1 gallon of orange juice. And it is gone. We usually do not have anything left over. They definitely like to eat. There you can see our line. It starts there where Josh is and circles around and goes around. And some of them even stay out and decide to be towards the end because then they know they can get as much as they want on their plates. Usually what's our girls' cabin, because it's easier for us women to be in that cabin to fix breakfast. Last year, the boys outnumbered us, so we got booted out of that one. But the girls' cabin seats around 20 in their huge table. This is why, you know, sometimes we'll get suggested, can we go to a different area? The facilities might be a little cheaper. These facilities are perfect for us right now because it's private up there. And so they don't get in trouble for playing and screaming and yelling at 2 a.m. with Capture the Flag. And we don't have to worry about them being near other campers or anything like that and what they're doing, because there's a big gate that shuts behind that we can lock and keep anybody from being able to drive down in there where we're at. It's actually where we have our church picnic, the big conference center. The two lodges, are, if you keep going past the conference center right there, are right there. So everywhere you see for that conference area, the big field, the playground, the woods, that's where they're playing at this whole weekend. And then, of course, you have the huge table that can seat all those kids and the couches and the big kitchen. I mean, I can't explain just how wonderful these facilities are for us and how they're just 10 minutes from the church. It's very, very functional for us. Games. The teens never know what we'll play or what they'll be asked to do. Cat food. This group of teens have always been willing to play whatever I ask them to do. They always give 100% effort and 100% fun. We play games all morning, and then we break for lunch at 12. And there's a few of the morning games we can play and stuff like that. You can see Stevie getting squeezed out over there. There's some more pictures of him playing different games. And it can be the goofiest, silliest game you can imagine, but they always give 100%. And they never have prizes, but they compete as if it's $1 million they're going for. There's some more games. Lunchtime. Saturday is always hot dogs. We eat around the campfire ring or picnic tables unless it's raining. In the afternoon, as soon as we finish lunch, we just keep them busy. We never give them off time. What little bit of time we give them for free time is still monitored. Usually we'll give them free time 2 to 5. This year will probably be a whole lot less. We're going to try to take advantage of the warm weather and do some water stuff. Most hang out, snack, and talk when they do get their free time, and some will take naps. They're exhausted. Some have to leave for school sports, and then around this time, they all start gathering back in. This is one of the games that we played last year. It was sumo ball. So the big balls were their sumo bellies, and they had to run and crash into each other. And, of course, those bigger boys, we had to tell them to take it easy. We didn't want them to slam back or bounce somebody clear across the field. Milk jug lacrosse. You guys have heard me beg for milk jugs before. They play lacrosse, and they catch the ball in their milk jugs and have to toss it with their milk jugs. Noodle tag. They had noodles strapped to their backs last year and socks on them, so they had to pull each other's socks off their noodles. And, of course, sometimes during our free time, Stan has come over and taught us fishing, and last year he taught us fly fishing, so we thank Stan for always wanting to come out and work with the kids, that he did this during free time. And there's some pictures of our free time. They're playing volleyball on playground, can jam, hanging out and eating again. Dinner. Dinner's at 5:30 and is always tacos in a bag. And anybody who wants to come out and join us for the day, you're always welcome to come out. Whether it's to help or just come and watch the kids and just have a good time, you're always welcome to come. Dinner is always tacos in a bag. So there you can see our lines again. A little bit of our cabins. That's the girls' cabin. Our big evening game. We always play a longer game competition after dinner. It usually lasts about 2 hours. Some of the past games we've played is The Amazing Race, Fear Factor, Scavenger Hunt, Hungry Hippos, Pac-Man, and the Olympics. There they are playing the Hungry Hippos. So that's where I needed those dollies I asked for here a year or two ago. They slid on those on their bellies with a laundry basket. They were the hippos. Fear Factor. And you can see Isaac up there holding a minnow. They bobbed for minnows. They had to catch the minnows with their teeth. The bottom right corner, they have pantyhose over their face, and they had to try to eat a banana through the pantyhose. And then you have, that's an older picture, you can tell, Jared and Trent up there in the top drinking pop out of a baby bottle, who could get it the fastest. And that's where the cat food came into play. On the very end, they could each member, usually just one person could get points for their team on each competition. But on this particular one, they could bring up, if they were in the back and they weren't in the lead on the points, they could, however many from their team wanted to take one bite of cat food, they could each earn 5 points. Well, it amazed me. I thought, well, maybe one or two would be gullible to try that, you know? And they jumped up. I mean, look how many. Both sides lined up. And I thought, are you kidding me? Do I even have enough cat food? So they're each, and I kept thinking at some point they're going to gag or whatever. They did not. I mean, like champs, they're, you know, willing to do anything. All lined up with a spoonful of this cat food. And so I waited until they ate it. And after they ate it, not one kid gagged. Several of them thought it smelled good, tasted good. Can they have more? And I'm going, are these kids crazy? So afterwards, I told them, guys, I would never feed you cat food. That was potted meat. But it just amazed me. They were willing to eat cat food. And then last year, we did the Olympics. So there, they're dividing up into teams. And we, the top left, they're running with their torches. And then they had cycling, and we had the long jump. And instead of synchronized swimming, they did synchronized dancing. We had the discus throw and the jousting. You can see Spencer up there on Alex's back there. He's jousting with a pool noodle. We did volleyball, basketball. And then after the big game, we have our campfire and guest speaker. That's usually starting at 8:30. Our past guest speakers, we've had Kenny Petrie 2 years. We've had Jimmy Kasdorf, Jason McClanahan. And this year's guest speaker is Tim Parsons. We've had several saved at our campfire service. And this is, you know, we stress how much fun we have, but we're also winning souls. And whether they give their heart to God during this retreat or not, they still had seeds planted. They still seen that, you know, as Christians, we can have fun. It's not just the stuff that's out in the world that's enticing and fun. Christians have just as much fun. And we cram as much fun and witness into that weekend that we can. And hopefully planting a lot of seeds that they'll remember 10, 20 years from now, the memories that they've made. And there is a picture you can see. That's last year's. Each year we've had to ask Kim and Brian, who bring the hay bales over, for more hay bales. And that's the biggest circle we've had. But I think we had around 70 kids last year on that evening. And so you can see just how crowded it actually is. And last year, it just always amazes me how we can always really feel the Spirit moving and stuff during the service. But it's funny because right at the time, we were supposed to be pouring the rain through that campfire service. And I sat there and I'm like, okay, Lord, I can't sit here and stress about how we're going to have our campfire service in the pouring rain. So if it happens, we'll deal with it. We'll move it down over the hill. We'll have it in the cabin. But I really like the campfire service. It just adds a little more to that moment, you know, and that memory. And he held it off perfectly, and as we broke to stop, the sprinkle started. I mean, it was just the very moment, and it's almost like the storm was brewing all around us because the wind was kicking up. I mean, the hairs on your body was just standing up because the wind was howling so loud, and it was all around us, but not where we were. And it's just amazing to me how God always comes through, whether we need one more bed or whether we need just a little more food, or we need some more volunteers, or maybe it's a year that I think, oh, Lord, is anybody going to be coming this year? You know, because they didn't, and then it surprises me, and we have 60, 70 kids that we didn't even know we were going to have 20. He just always comes through and gives us the blessing. Here's some downtime after the campfire. They're all hanging out. Then we have our Sunday morning chapel service. There's a chapel by the lake, and if you've ever gone inside that chapel, it's really small. The pews are small. They're crammed in there. And we usually have, this is one of our earlier ones a few years back, so it's not as packed as what we usually see it now. And we usually tell our parents, we'd love for you to join us, but we really don't have room, you know, because we try to cram our kids in there. And there, even last year, we had lawn chairs sitting in there just trying to get them in there. I think I even sat on the stage at some point just to try to make room. But normally I think it seats around 60, and we've crammed 70-some in there. I mean, they're truly sardines, one leaning forward, one leaning back into these pews just trying to get them in there. And if you look over in the left, that's Bree getting saved. That was about 2 years ago. And then they're praying. But we just tell them it's their service. And so we may have some pickup quartets. You never know what they're going to do. Several will testify. And honestly, I think that they move more during this service because I think parents aren't there. It's sad that we always encourage them to be open and take part in the services, but it's like they feel a little more comfortable, I guess, when they're squeezed in there tight and they know it's just them. We've had some absolute wonderful, wonderful services. It's my most favorite part of the entire weekend is the Sunday morning chapel service. In fact, this year where we're doing it in August, normally they're not having their church services later in the year, but they're still going on. Their own church services are going on in the chapel at 11. So we're actually going to wake them up a little earlier this year so we can still get our chapel service in. And then we have different ones that'll lead songs. Austin does that a lot for us. Thank you, Austin. And then leading the service, different ones have taken turns, and Trenton's done it several years. And then on this particular one, this is 2 years ago, and this is the service that we had Bree saved on. I want to say right after this. It could have been right before. I'm trying to remember. But anyways, I actually videoed it, and so I'm going to show you a little bit of this video. But just close your eyes as you're listening to their harmony and how it's just like the Spirit just really moves in them during this service. It was a real blessing to me to hear that many teenagers singing, and this is very early in the morning, but this is the song that they're singing.
No more sorrow, no more pain, I will rise.
And of course, we always end with our group picture. Usually they'll do a serious one and then a goofy one. And then you can tell this is several years back. They all look very small. And then clean up. We always go back before breakfast. They get all their stuff ready and on their beds and ready to go. And then as soon as we get back, everybody helps with running the vacuum cleaner, cleaning bathrooms, all of that kind of thing. And then they get picked up as soon as our services here are finished. Parents will go out there and pick the kids up. Most importantly, we want to say thank you. So without Gold Town Church paying for our cabins, without church members donating food, time, prayers, and support, none of this could happen without you. So you have made a difference in a person's life. We want to ask all the teens that have taken part in the teen retreat to please come forward. When we thought about doing this presentation for you guys to kind of open it up and let you guys see what we do, I just kept thinking of the song Thank You. And I know that it talks about the missionary and things like that, but you don't know what impact you make on somebody else's life. And I know when we did this, when I was younger, it made an impact on me, and I felt like God had been telling me to do this, to make an impact on these other kids. And they're not all here. Most of these kids all bring a friend. And I'll be walking, when I worked at the middle school, I'd walk down the halls and these kids would come up to me and say, I'm coming next year. And I'd be like, okay, we're watching for you. They don't go to our home church, but they look forward to this every year and it's a witness to them. So I can't explain how greatly we appreciate all the help that Gold Town gives. And so this song, Thank You, just came to my mind. And so I asked them, you don't have to sing, but please still come up into the choir loft so they can see the massive number. And believe me, this is small compared to how many lives you really have touched that will continue to be touched in their minds, like through their memories later.
Many of you will remember when Adam and Isaac and JR were small. Sue and Kay worked with them on the song Thank You that their parents had done many years before when they were teens and young adults in the Young Believers. So this morning we have Isaac and Adam singing their verses. We've also added Austin. This was a song done many years ago and lives were touched through the Young Believers. Several years later, when these boys were small and they sang the song, and now I hope that it will bless your heart today.
Said, but wait, you used to teach my son. said,
remember the time a missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. He didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. And Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven, you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes. As Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord, He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord.
Blessed me and my family, and
how it's just been a blessing to raise my kids up in this church. We thank you for your blessings upon us, dear God. We pray your blessing on the message here this morning, dear God. As Pastor Rob comes to break the bread of life, we pray your anointing up on his lips of clay, that he would speak the very words that we need to hear. And just challenge each one of us, dear God, this morning to be better folks for you, in Christ's name.
Good morning. All right, everybody stand up. I'll give you 30 seconds to shake somebody's hand and tell them, Jesus loves you and so do I. Jesus loves you, and so do I. You can be seated. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Thank you, Tiffany. Thank you, young people. Thank you, church. It all works together, and it takes all of us. It takes all of us. So, appreciate you this morning. Matthew chapter 16, and we'll look at verse 13, says this. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now turn to Revelations chapter 1 real quick. I'm going to read just one part of one verse in Revelation. You want to speed it up. It's been an awesome service so far. If you haven't felt the Spirit of God, well, we don't need to go any farther. You just need to come forth. Yeah. Because he's been here. Yeah. He's been here since the beginning. Revelations chapter 1 and verse 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave. That's all I want to read. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave. Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? I want to ask real quick this morning, who does Jesus say that he is? Who does God say that God is? And I want to let God reveal to us himself, about himself. Just a little bit, just to scratch the surface, let God reveal to us himself. Who does he say he is? Jesus said, if you look on down in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Revelation is just telling us about something. Here's what I looked up Revelation. It says it's this, manifestation of divine truth. The manifestation of divine truth. So that's what we're going to look at real quick. We're going to look at some divine from God, holy, the truth about who Jesus is, who God is, what he is, because we need to get that grasp in our life. Until I know who God is, I can't let him work effectively in my life. Until I know who God is, he can't work in my life the way he wants to. But as soon as we get a grasp and knowledge of Jesus and God, who they are, who he is, who he can be, then your life can be changed. So just for a minute, just for a few minutes, I want to just take a look real quick at some things. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Alpha, the beginning is what Alpha is, the beginning. He's the one that started it all. John said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. It was Jesus, it was God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost that started everything. They were the beginning, they were the one that said, let there be. They were the one that caused it all to happen. They were the ones that were right there before time they were. Before time they were, and that's something we can't grasp. We can't grasp before time, and we can't grasp after time. But we can grasp time. If we can go back to the beginning, think back to the beginning, God was already there. God was the one that said, let there be. And I thought about this. God, it was Jesus that started the whole thing. that started this whole creation, this whole universe, this whole earth, this whole humanity, whole mankind, started everything by simply saying, speaking into darkness, speaking into into nothing, speaking a word into nothing that made something that started you and me. That started you and me. He's the one, he's the catalyst that made it happen. He's the one, he's the beginning, he's the creator. I thought it like this. He's the one that created the clock and he's the one that started the clock. You see, before let there be, there was no sun, there was no moon, there was no day and night. There weren't months and years. There were no planets revolving and suns revolving and earth spinning. There was no time. It was God, it was Jesus who started the clock. It was God who started time. It was him who was there in the beginning. And I thought about it like this. You know, there are different people that have different beliefs about creation and timing. And I don't worry about all that. I don't worry about a whole lot. I don't let a lot get to me about if you don't believe like I believe and I don't believe like you believe. There are people who say we've been here millions of years or trillions of years or billions of years, maybe 6,000 years or hundreds of years. Whatever you want to believe about that doesn't matter to me. I don't really care. I don't mind. You say what you want. I don't, you know, how long the earth has been. How long from let there be light to now was it? I don't know. I'll never know. But God knows because he was there. He was there when it began. He was there starting it all. You might think it was millions of years, and I don't mind that, but here's what we can't debate, and what I will discuss with you is who started it, how it started. It started with God. It started with Jesus. He said, let there be, and there it was. Let there be light, and there was light in darkness. Let there be planets, and there were planets in outer space. Let there be animals, and there were animals. So the beginning, the starter was God. It was God, it was Jesus that started it all. And I know people that say, and I'm going to lose some of you right here, the Big Bang Theory. You know that theory? I'm not going to argue with you if you believe in the Big Bang Theory. I don't mind that at all. My question is, what made it go bang? Something made it go bang, or should we say someone? And it was like this. Let's say you're a Big Bang theorist. Thinking, I don't mind that. I'm not, but if you are, that's fine. You know what? You ain't going to hell because you think it went bang at the beginning. Because here's what might have happened. God said, let there be light, and bang, there was light. God said, let there be planets, and bang, there was planets. I don't know. Were you there? Was I there? It could have happened that way. It might have been a big bang when God said, let there be. They might have said, let there be, bang, and it happened. I don't know. But you know what I do know is it was Jesus. It was God that started it all, the creator of it all. And you know what? It was Jesus. It was God that started mankind. It was Jesus that started you and Jesus that started me. And the Bible says he formed Adam from the ground. He formed Eve from Adam's rib. But they weren't living souls until he did what? Breathed the breath of life into them. Once he breathed the breath of life into them, they became living souls. You know what? He did the same thing with you. He started your life. He started my life when you were born. I was talking with one of the moms from in our church not too long ago. And we're talking about one of their children that was born, and it took them 3 minutes to take first breath. That's a long time. Any moms and dads think that's a long time for the first breath to be taken? I remember one of ours didn't make that cry right off the bat, and it was probably only 10 seconds. But it was an eternity to me when you're sitting there, because you think, you see the movies, it should come out and scream. You know, she or he should scream. And when it's not instant, you're like, ugh. 3 minutes is a long time. You know what? God was just saying, I ain't ready for him to breathe yet. Once God said, okay, and he went, and breath came and healthy kid. Because God is the one that started it all. He's Alpha. He's the beginning. He's the beginning of everything. He's the beginning of time. He's the beginning of creation. He's the beginning. You see, it's like this, and we can't fathom this, but I like to try. Before there was light in our darkness, God was out there hanging out. God was out there hanging out. One day he says to Jesus, he says, I think we'll make mankind. I think we'll make universe. I think we'll make planets. And the Spirit says, well, where are you going to do that? And God says, in the dark, right over there. So they're just sitting there in their heaven hanging out on their throne. And all at once, now they create us. He's the beginning. He's the Alpha. He's the beginning of everything in your life. And when anything in your life begins, he's there with you. Anything in your life begins, you start, he's there with you. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the ending. He said, I'm not just the beginning, but I'm the end of it all. I'm going to end there. I've decided the Bible tells us that God declared the ending from the beginning. When he said, let there be, he said, all right, there's whatever year that would have been, negative whatever. He said, now, in 3,958, January 21st of 3058 is done. He did that. He said, back here, I'm ending it right here. He said, I'm the one that started, I'm the one that ends it. I'm the one that's there in the beginning, I'm the one that's there in the ending. I am there to start you, I will be there when you finish. When you start this life, when this world started, he was there. When this world ends, he will be there. But most important of all, when my world ends and when your world ends, he said, I will be there. You see, he is there waiting for you and me. He's there to be. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be there. And I know when it's going to happen. I know when it's going to happen. You see, he started our life himself by creation and breathing. Just like with this world, he started with the spoken word. And the Bible says that he holds all the universe in place by his spoken word. That's how I know that there's not going to be ever any meteors hit this earth and destroy it. There won't be, we're not going to freeze us to death and we're not going to burn us to death. I was watching something yesterday and they were talking about global warming and this person in another country, they said, who do you think's at fault? And they said, we are. United States, we are at blame for the whole world getting hotter. One country takes care and we do it all. Whatever. Whatever. Blame who you want. But I know this, it's not going to get too hot that we all die. Because God told us how it's going to end. And anyhow, it's going to happen. And he said, I am the one who's going to end it all. I've decided already when it's going to be done. And I've decided I'm going to be there. So when the world ends, he's going to be there. When your life ends, he's going to be there. I am the beginning and I am the ending. And you know what? He's already at each one of them. And we'll get there in a minute, but he's at each one of them. He's at the beginning and the ending at the same time. So he's Alpha, he's Omega. He's the beginning and he's the ending. And you can have comfort in that. He has both of those under control. Both of those under control. He said real quick, I am he which is and which was and which is to come. It told us that it is God who is the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. Inhabits eternity. You see, God doesn't just be here right now. He's here right now and he's in tomorrow right now. And I thought about something real quick. I thought about something. And this kind of blew my mind. And maybe it will yours, maybe not. Today is 1997's 20 years from now. Today is 1997's 20 years in the future. So 1997, what's the day today? August 20th, 1997. Who was around at that time? Who was around on August 20th, 1997? God was there with us. Who was here at Goldtown, August 20th, 1997? God was in our life at that time, but he was also here right now at that time. You see, God is throughout all of eternity. Eternity past. The Bible says he is God that is from everlasting to everlasting. And he doesn't get there when we get there. He's already there because he inhabits all of it. So in 1997, when we were back there and we thought 20 years in the future is a long way, God was like, no, for me, that's today. That's why David wrote, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And Jesus, God said, God told Moses, tell him who, Aaron? Tell him who sent you? I am. Why? Because I am right now. I am right now, and I am at all times. Through everlasting to everlasting, God is. So in 1997, when we couldn't fathom 20 years from now, God was already there. Who was the first person in church this morning? Who? Right, but he's not a person. You got the right answer. He's the curve blower. He's ahead of everybody. Who was the first human being in church today? Who opened the door? Nobody. Wow. That's pretty good. Who was here before everybody else was here? Somebody had to walk in this place. Joy. All right, Joy. Joy was here first. Anybody here before Joy? All right, Joy, when you came here, did God walk through the doors when you opened the door? Or was he already inside? He was in here on the front row. So you guys are sitting with God. Apparently you guys are not. Closer you get to the front, the closer you get to God. Now he's back there too. And he was already here and he walked in with you. He was already here and he walked in with you. But he was already here. Why? Because in 1997, when we weren't thinking about today, he was already in today. That's why John says, I saw a number which no man could number around the throne of God, praising God. And you know what? God is there now. God is in that number with us now. And when we get there, he's already there. He is the one that is right now. The one that was before we even were. The one that was before time even began. And the one that which is to come, coming back to get his church. And the one that will be from everlasting in the past to everlasting in the future. And that I can't fathom. That I can't fathom. But God can, and that's just it. He's there. But here's the thing about that. That's how God knows. The Bible says he knows your need before you speak it. That's how he knows your need before you even speak it to him. Why? Because he's there. He's there now. He's here, but he's there. He's in tomorrow, today. He's in next year, today. He's in 20 years from now, today. So when we walk into our tomorrow, we're walking into a place that God has been for eternity. He's been there. That's how, and I wrote it and I want to read it because y'all going to think it's stupid. That's why I want to read it. But I liked how it came out. I said, where did I write it? It's a question. He knows right now what you need then because he is in then now. Got it? Who understands it? Because I don't. He knows right now what you and I will need then. Because he's in then right now. Because he's everlasting to everlasting. Ever present, always present, inhabiting eternity. That's why when something comes up in your life, it doesn't surprise God. God said, I've already been there. When a surprise comes to you that's a life changer, a world rocker, God says, I've already been there. I'm already in it. Got you covered. That's God. That's God. He's in then now. And think about it. You will be there soon with him. Just like walking through the back door. He was already here. We came into his presence, even though his presence walked with us. First person in the door wasn't the first person in the church. Who was? God was. He was already here. So he's the one that is right now, was before, and is coming soon to be with him and live with him forever in his everlasting eternity in the future. Think about eternity past, that's God, and eternity future, that's God. And he said, in your future, in your present, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you. And when the end comes, I'm going to be there. All right, he went on to say, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. He which is, which was, and which is to come. The Almighty. The Almighty. There's lots of powers in this world, but none greater than the power of God. There's lots of powers in this world, but none that's above God. I really want to read something to you. Romans 8:35 says this. And this is the thing about the Almighty God. The Almighty God is the one who controls the Almighty everybody else. The Almighty God is the one who controls everybody else that thinks they're almighty. Every other spirit of power that thinks they're the most powerful. You see, God's the biggest and boldest. God's the most powerful. He's the one that created it all and controls it all. And this is what, and he has your best interest. He has your best interest in mind. Romans 8 says it like this. 8 and 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are all killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, but nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. No, all those things he mentioned, none of those can conquer you. None of those can take you down to defeat. None of those can do more than make you drop to your knees and cry out to God. Once we hit our knees, we're done going down. We're done being defeated. When we hit our knees, God says, all right, I'm here. When we step out and step down and say, God, I can't, I'm done, I can go no farther, God says, well, I'm just ready to begin. I am the one who is in total control, and that's the one that has you in his hand, your life in his hand. I'm the Almighty, not the Somebody. I'm the Almighty. You see, there's powers in this world, the devil and the demons, and they think they're big and they think they're bad, and against me they are. Against just me, they are big and they're bad and they're burly and they're more powerful. If we put all of ourselves together as a church, together, we couldn't do anything against them. They would take us all down with just us. But you know what? You with God, bigger and badder than anything that comes. God is bigger than the biggest, badder than the baddest, stronger than the strongest, more powerful than the powerfulest. If that's a word. If it's not, it is now. It's in my dictionary. Yeah, but that didn't work. Est, I was using Est. He said the most powerful. And that's right. The most powerful on earth, don't touch God. The most powerful on earth, don't come close to God. That's why you plus God equals more power than anything else. You plus God is more powerful than the devil and all his demons and all his followers and all those that work for him. You, one person, plus God equals more. More than anything. So he said, I'm the Almighty. I'm the one who has it taken care of. I'm the one who can control it. I'm the one who can work it out. I'm the one who can defeat anything that comes along. Then, quick, three things and I'm done. God, who are you? I am Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. He said, I'm the one that will provide for you. I'm the one that will provide for you, not out of you, but out of me. I'm the one who will come to your rescue. I'm the one who will come to your side. I'm the one who will be there for what you need. I have what you need. The Bible says whatever your need might be, God has it taken care of. God has what he needs to make it happen. See, the Bible says he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, but he owns the hills too. Remember this. Remember this. If your need is financial, he met financial needs with a fish one time. He did. I gotta give you a real quick thing about this where I'd go through. Because it hit me when I was studying this. You know, they needed to pay taxes. His disciples needed to pay taxes, right? They didn't have money. They needed money. It takes money to pay taxes. So Jesus said, I'll help you pay him. I'll get it for you. Got a fish you need to meet, right? But you know what they had to do for Jesus to pay those taxes for him? They had to do for that miracle to happen. They actually had to do something. He didn't just give it to him free. He didn't say, oh, boom, here's money, abracadabra. Now, he could have, but he said, no, you need to work for it. I'll help you pay your taxes. I'll help you get the money, but you got to work for it. So they had to actually go out and cast a net, cast a line, catch a fish, take the fish, get in its mouth, pull out the coin. They had to work for it. America needs to learn that. West Virginia needs to learn that. And I ain't going anywhere else because we get on that soapbox where I work every day. But God says, no work, no eat. Jesus said, I help you, but you got to help out. So they went, cast a net, caught a fish, in the mouth was the money. Came back, paid the taxes. You got a financial need, God can meet it. He can meet it. You got an emotional, spiritual need. He met a guy one time. We got off the boat, met a guy that was crazy. He was possessed. He was out of his mind, running around naked through the graveyard and throwing himself in the fire and breaking chains. And the Bible says that when Jesus passed by, he had an encounter. Audrey sang a song last night about Jesus passing by. Let me tell you, when Jesus passes by, things happen. When Jesus passes by, things change. The Bible says after his encounter with Jesus, with God, he was sitting clothed in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. Clothed in his right mind. When you got emotional things or needs that you can't take, that you can't make happen, that you can't work out, God says it like this: I can work it out. Emotional, physical, mental, financial. We see all the miracles Jesus did. He said, I'm your God, I will provide for you. He said, I am Jehovah Shalom. I am the God that will give you peace. Now, he said, peace. I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, but my peace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And here's what I thought when I read that. And I was studying about other times where peace is mentioned. Go out and find them. Here was my thought. What kind of peace do you have? The peace that when you're out in a boat on the sea and it's storming and it's raining and the wind's blowing, the waves are high, the disciples go, God, why me? You ever said that? Why me? God. And Jesus says, peace. The disciples say, why me? And Jesus says, peace. The why me cry did nothing. But the peace calmed everything. The Bible says it's a peace that passeth all understanding, to where nobody can figure out how you can have peace in the midst of that storm. The disciples went to Jesus and said, how in the world can you sleep in the middle of this? How can you sleep when this is happening in our life? How can you sleep when this is happening in your life? You're in the same boat that we're in. We're going to flip over and drown and be dead. And here, we're all panicking and you're not. And Jesus says, because I got the peace of God. Let me give it to you. He steps up, says, peace. All goes calm and everything works out. That's the peace God has for you. I got one more and we'll sing. God is love. God said, I am love. Think about what love is. In your mind, define love to the best of your ability. Whatever words you can use to describe it, whatever phrases can put it to light, whatever you can dream or envision love to be. God is all that and more. And God loves you so much that he wants to be God for you. This morning, if you need God, this morning, if you need God for anything, he's all that and then more. And he's that for you. As we stand and sing, if you need Jesus this morning, if you need God this morning, he's here. The altar's here. People will be here to pray with you.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Something about that name.
If I could get all the kids to come back up real quick, hurry up. Just jump in choir loft anywhere. Come on up. All the kids, come on up. On up. My message this morning was about God revealing himself. And I wanted to introduce you to Jesus. Now we went through it quick. Maybe one day we'll go through it in a more of a lengthy time. But let me introduce you to Jesus. That's what God's all about.
Yeah.
That right there. If we get him early, if God gets him early, he gets to keep him. He gets to keep him to the end.
Yeah.
That's what God's about. That's Jesus right there. When we do that chain retreat, that's what it's for. Him to get them. Him to keep them. So when we ask you if you want to come out or you want to donate or you want to do anything, if you have 10 minutes next weekend, 10 minutes that you have nothing else to do, come out. If you have a whole day, come out. Just watch. Just get involved. Take part. You will have fun. Now, the longer you stay, the more tired you will be later. But you will have fun in Jesus. That's Jesus behind me. That's what it's all about. That's Jesus Christ. Think about what you do that affects them, and then they affect all their friends. You know, somebody said to Billy Graham, "Wouldn't you like to get saved?" And he said yes, and look what happened. Every time you do something for a young person, for our kids, look what might happen. So if I want to introduce you to Jesus, let me show him to you by looking at those behind me. So pray for us next weekend and come out if you can. Come out to join in, come out to watch, chaperone, be there if somebody needs help, whatever. Come out, have fun. Most of all, get to know God for who God is, and He can work in your life. He can work in your life. Does anybody have anything? We have a board meeting right now. In a minute.
You should be over here. Secondly, tonight,